waiting for?
This is the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show.
I am the smartest man alive!
Call Johnny now at 844-5600.
Funny name for a guy.
20 years of sports coverage. This is Nashville's sports original.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
On WNSR 560 on 95.9 FM.
And happy Thursday, everyone. Johnny Ballpark Franks with you, along with Jay Henson, broadcasting out of the Goggin Coal Hall Studios, the coldest team in town, now offering great wages and benefits for drivers to join their winning team. For more information, you can go to their website, gogginkohl.com. We'll be with you tonight until 6:20 when we turn things over to Vanderbilt Women's Basketball on the road, taking on LSU. 6:20 as far as the pregame is concerned, and tip just after 6:30. But before we get to all that, around 4:20, Kevin McAlpin with the Braves Radio Network will be a part of the show. It's always fun talking Braves, Major League Baseball, and more. And I know it's still spring training, Jay, but the hit batters by pitches as far as the Houston Astros is concerned, I think they're 9 in a period of 7 games, or 8 and 6, something along those lines.
Yeah, I think it's 7 and 5, actually.
See, I knew it was like 2 more than the number of games. I loved yesterday where, you know, the game was slated to start 10 minutes after the top of the hour, and they waited, and which means Mr. Springer had to put up with all the boos, all the verbal abuse of cheater, 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 and I thought that was very amusing, actually.
I mean, you know, people can say, well, they didn't get any justice. Here's the deal. The Major League Baseball fans are going to give them justice.
Not really. I mean, I go
that
back.
That would bother me.
No. I go back to the fact that, you know, here's the penalty for the organization, $5 million, giving up first and second round picks for 2 years, and that's it. That's your punishment to be crowned World Series champs. And then think about the bonus money you got for advancing as far as the playoffs, and that's your penalty. And so there's not an organization out there that wouldn't go, okay, I'm in. Because remember, think about all the organizations, too, that ignored steroids for so many years, decade plus.
Yeah, 2 decades at least.
So, yeah. So there you go with that. But I am a little amused by that. Hey, how about the fact that Vanderbilt now, 10 games they've played so far, 9 quality starts from the starters, including another one yesterday. Ethan Smith, 5 innings pitched, scattered 3 walks, 2 hits, no runs allowed while striking out 7. And then things were turned over to the bullpen, and that's certainly been a nice part of this equation, too, for Vanderbilt. 4 innings pitch combined, 6 hits, no walks, 11 strikeouts in 4 innings. Mm. That's and then only 2 earned runs allowed, as Vanderbilt yesterday took care of business against St. Louis 10-2.
Not the Cardinals, the Billikens.
No, that's right. And that means off today, then tomorrow Vanderbilt begins a 3-game homestand against Hawaii.
I'm sure they probably wish they were in Honolulu instead of Nashville this weekend. Well, if I was Vanderbilt.
At least it's warming up.
Yeah, it's supposed to be like mid-50s tomorrow, I think, but beautiful.
Yeah, at least the weather is warming up, so it'll be better. Now, next week, so far, now here's the thing. I've already, you know, because I'm always 10 days ahead as far as the weather forecast. Tuesday does not look good. As far as like an 80-90% chance of rain, but here we are Thursday. So we know, living in Nashville and Middle Tennessee, that could quickly change. So just right now it doesn't look good, but all it takes is for it to speed up or stall or, you know, evaporate, whatever the case may be.
Never know.
Also coming up on the show just after 5, is there more thought that was put into this master plan that Vanderbilt
strategic
has?
Strategic plan?
Yeah, yeah. Strategic. Now, just because you call it one, you know, here's the thing. If you're a fan of Vanderbilt, and there's, you know, like I said, there's 2 things that if you live your life by the rest of your life, guy, girls, it doesn't matter. If you're a guy or girl, if you live your life, well, especially, well, more so with the guy, but I think you can change a word to make it apply to women as well. Just like we always talk about Dirty Harry, Clint Eastwood, man's got to know his limitations. You can see where that would also apply to a female.
Yeah.
A female has to know her limitations. Same thing applies to a Toby Keith song. There's a Nashville connection, and I think that if you live your life by Toby Keith songs, little less talk and a lot more action, I think that would apply to almost everything in life. And this is a good example. Like, okay, don't want to see the process, just want to see the baby, right? Same thing applies to this all this talk about a master plan, just want to see the end result is what I'm talking about. But Adam Sparks took a little bit to get to where I was going with that.
Yeah, a little detour there.
But it kind of now makes sense. Adam Sparks, he's the Vanderbilt beat writer for the Tennessee, and he'll join us because I'm sure he has all the answers.
Well, I'm sure.
He'll join us at 5:05. Maybe he has the master plan.
Somebody's got the master plan. I'd like to know who has it.
Who has it this week? Did it get checked out at the library? And somebody forgot to return it? Yeah, I'm just curious.
We'll figure it out.
At 5:35, Alan Bell. He is with CBS Sportsline talking NFL Combine, free agency, and more. I keep hearing and this is the thing, if you're a Tennessee Titans fan and if you're the Tennessee Titans organization, you know, it only takes one other team to be attracted to one of your free agents. And it's not like, okay, if there's, let's just say Arizona, the Arizona Cardinals, Jay, interested in you joining their organization,
sure.
You don't think that, first of all, we got, you know, agents that are, you know, serving members of that organization, Titans, et cetera. You share agents with various teams. And, you know, if I'm, like, wanting your services, you don't think I'm going to, like, you know, not directly, of course. It could be one of these things casually over, like, you're out having a dinner with your wife and somebody walks by. Arizona wants you.
Just keep walking.
You know, just a walk by or whatever.
Yeah.
I keep hearing Jack Conklin's price. You know, there's some interest in him.
I've heard that as well. I've definitely seen that on Twitter where his price continues to rise.
It makes you wonder of the big three that, you know, if you're wanting to create additional cap space, Cameron Wake, Deion Lewis, Delanie Walker, if all three of those individuals are gone. And the other part, too, you keep, you know, everybody who's wanting to know, oh, is Derrick Henry back? Who's going to be quarterback and if Derrick Henry is back?
Right.
But if Derrick Henry is back, you better have a cohesive unit as far as your starting five at the line that you're comfortable with. Personally, if you want Derrick Henry back, you would want, you know, everybody back, including Dennis Kelly. So you want Conklin and Kelly back. But, you know, there's only so much money to go around. It'll be interesting to see exactly what transpires.
$50 million in cap space, so, I mean, we'll see.
Yeah, 50 is not going to be enough.
I mean, it's not a lot, no.
When you got 22, remember that number, 22 free agents, 50 is not enough. I mean, especially, so that's why when I mentioned the three to clear up another $10 million or so, or it could be a little bit more than that, 10 to 15, I'm thinking. But if you delete Cameron Wake, Deion Lewis, and Delanie Walker. You might need that to get everybody on board. Because, you know, if you're looking for consistency and keeping the chemistry close to what it was in 2019, you need to bring back as many of these individuals as possible. That's why if you get Conklin, I don't see you keeping Logan Ryan. That's one
unfortunately
that's out there.
Not, yeah.
And then you keep hearing about, okay, is it Ryan Tannehill? Do you want to invest that kind of money as far as that length of a contract that he's looking for? Who gets the franchise tag? Are you just going to throw a franchise tag on Derrick Henry? Is he going to be happy? Is anybody going to be happy if they get hit with a franchise tag? Because there's no security as far as that. Yeah, you get a great payday for 1 year, but there's no security.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to be that next guy. You know, if you're a quarterback, you want to be the next $100 million man, for example. So a lot of questions, you know, to be decided between now and franchise city comes to town.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's a big deal with Robinson and them. I mean, they've got a lot of decisions to make coming up in a month.
And then just after 6, Will West joins us from Knoxville. He's with Sports Radio WNML, and we'll talk Vols and more. Last night, as far as the college basketball landscape, remember the opportunity for Tennessee to help, you know, boost their resume, not necessarily make the NCAA tournament at this point because too many losses.
Right.
But yeah, you losing by 17 on the road, that's not what the doctor ordered. Arkansas needed it, and with that win, they improved to 18-10 on the year, 6-9 in conference play. Tennessee now just two games above 500, one game below 500 as far as conference play. Oh. And then you have Vanderbilt at home, losing by 9 to Missouri. Missouri with the win, they're now 500 on the year, 6-9 in the conference. Vanderbilt now 10 games under 500, 9-19. 1-14 in conference play. Let's see here. In the last 2 years, 1-32.
You are correct.
1-32 in regular season conference play. 1-32.
Yep.
That's is that good? No.
Negative.
1-32. Is Swanee back in the SEC?
Yes, and they're black and gold now.
I'm just curious. 1-30.
I think if you bring Swanee back from Division III, they could win more than one game.
How is it even possible to go 1-32 in conference play?
I mean, you'll hear the excuses of, well, the injuries, well, the coaching changes,
Is it tougher to go? Because remember, Gonzaga last Saturday suffered their first loss in conference play in two-plus years?
2 years, yeah.
They lost to BYU. They had won 40 straight. Which is tougher, to win 40 straight or to go 1-32 in conference play?
Ugh, that's a good question. I'd probably have to say the first winning 40 in a row.
I don't know. I'm thinking 1-30 to go, because that means that even on your best night, somebody has to be that much better.
Yep.
And look, there's been a lot of some close calls, obviously, over the last 2 years as far as chances for Vanderbilt to add to that win and that win total, but 1-32.
And a lot of it has to do with free throws. And right, that was another deal.
Well, I don't want to just end that quick update on a negative notice as far as Vanderbilt, because we started with a positive with Vanderbilt beating St. Louis. That's one thing that we can always count on. If you're trying to look at a silver lining with regards to Vanderbilt athletics, what do you have to do?
Go to baseball?
Well, that or, something related to Tim Corbin. Any of the above things would be very, very nice. Because, yeah, you don't want to stop at where we just stopped. How about Tim Corbin is going to be brought into the mix, Tennessee State Hall of Fame.
It's awesome.
Well-deserved. When you think about, all of the different sports across the state and locally here, not only a great ambassador for baseball here in the area, but just the way he makes the community just better, period. Head coach Tim Corbin of the baseball squad selected as a 2020 inductee to the Tennessee Sports Hall of Fame. And this was announced earlier today. And Tim Corbin, by the way, had a quote. He says, quote, "I don't know what to say. Caught way off guard. The ability to be here for a long period of time has everything to do with that. And being surrounded by a lot of good people, and being at a university where it is meaningful to have kids that are centered, matured, doing special things away from the field academically, as well as athletically and socially, it's all of that.
Yep.
We've been thrown into a great place, very thankful. It's unbelievable." And can we expect anything less? Tim, you know what would shock me one day is Tim goes, because remember, Bear Bryant in his latter part of his career, in his last 10 years of coaching at Alabama and last 10 years of his life, talked about, he liked to refer to himself, ain't nothing but a winner. Tim is so humble. I'm just amazed by somebody who is that talented, has been that successful, and yet if you're around him, you don't get that air about him.
Right.
He is so grounded. And he's an amazing individual, and he's certainly an incredible asset here. So our hats off to him. Congratulations. What a wonderful honor it is for him to be a part of this 2020 class as far as Tennessee Sports Hall of Fame. All right, coming up, a chance to talk some Braves baseball, Major League Baseball as well. Kevin McAlpin with the Braves Radio Network. He's coming up. You're listening to Nashville Sports Radio.
Good afternoon. It is busy out of downtown now on the South Loop, the West Loop. We've seen a couple of wrecks in the last 10, 15 minutes out here, like that one on 24 westbound, just up between 440 and Interstate 40 on 24 going east is the heaviest now. As you head back out towards Rutherford County, it's a crash also being cleared up right now. 1500 block of Hellquaker Boulevard. That's going to be South Nashville. Traffic still tied up there. Briley Parkway near Gallatin Pike from that wreck with injuries. Hey, the Music City Irish Fest in Nashville kicks off
soon. The Ohio Valley Conference Men's and Women's Basketball Championship returns to Evansville March 4th through 7th. Last year, record-setting crowds filled the Ford Center to watch OVC teams cut down the nets on their way to the big dance. Don't miss your chance to see the first tickets punched to this year's NCAA tournament. Single-session tickets are on sale now through all Ticketmaster locations and the Ford Center box office. For more information, visit OVCSports.com/Evansville. The award-winning Bob's Steak and Chop House, located in the Omni Nashville Hotel, is a nationally renowned steakhouse specializing in the finest corn-fed Midwestern prime beef. The menu formula is simple: incredible meat, gigantic shrimp, fabulous salads, and decadent desserts. Classic steakhouse food prepared and presented in a manner that Bon Appetit calls the kind of fare you'll want to go back for again and again. And voted one of the top 50 restaurants in the country by Travel and Leisure magazine, the most romantic steakhouse in Nashville, and won the Wine Spectator Award for the second consecutive year, and one of only 11 steakhouses in America that serves A5 Wagyu steak. For reservations, call 615-761-3707. That's 615-761-3707. Bob's Steak and Chop House, where complimentary valet parking is always available. Whether you're a startup business or an established brand, Stripe Design and Print want to help you ensure you establish the best brand for your business. From new projects to updating existing files, Stripe Design and Print has the expertise to turn your project into a reality. With banners, apparel, business cards, and more, Stripe Design and Print has you covered. Log on for a free consultation at StripeDesignPrint.com. That's StripeDesignPrint.com.
Jim Rome's got opinions.
The Niners got to the Super Bowl because of their running game, and they were leading in the Super Bowl because of their running game and then their play action, and then they started going heavy pass. That said, take nothing from Kansas City. San Francisco didn't lose that game. Kansas City won that game. They made huge plays in huge moments, and sometimes you just have to tip your cap and give somebody some bleeping credit.
The Jim Rome Show, weekday mornings starting at 11 on WNSR, Nashville Sports Radio. Call the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show now, 615-844-5600.
Welcome back. Johnny Ballpark Frank's with you, broadcasting out of the Geigen Cole Hall Studios. Just a reminder, if you're going downtown tonight or hanging out with friends this weekend, if you're planning on drinking, have a plan. Call a friend, call a cab, have a designated driver. But drunk driving is the ultimate form of unsportsmanlike conduct. The Tennessee Highway Safety Office reminds you that fans don't let fans drive drunk. Still coming up just after 5, by the way, Adam Sparks, the Vanderbilt beat writer with the Tennessean. But right now, a chance to talk some Braves baseball, Major League Baseball, and more. Kevin McAlpin with the Braves Radio Network joins us. Kevin, happy life down in beautiful Florida, I'm sure. And as always, welcome back to the show.
Yeah, always thanks. Always enjoy talking ball with you, Johnny. Thanks for having me.
Hey, first things first, over the first week plus there, since from earlier this month when the pitchers and catchers have reported, since the games have got underway, what's the general feeling around camp right now?
Well, the one consensus that I've heard more times than anything is World Series or bust. That's the mantra for this team. That's the mindset of these guys in this clubhouse that aren't going to be happy with making the playoffs. And that was sort of the gist last season, but it's really been cranked up here this year. And I think the way it ended, Freddie Freeman said it best when they got eliminated, and he said it again when he got here to camp, that they felt like they had a team that could win the whole thing last year. And that Game 5 loss, really the Game 4 loss against St. Louis, was probably harder to swallow than Game 5. I mean, they were just blown out in Game 5. But Game 4 was a game you could have won You had it right in front of you, and you couldn't get the job done. So these guys are motivated to get back and to put, you know, to bed 20-plus years of frustration for this fan base that's watched them constantly bow out in the first round. So these guys are really determined to push forward and prove people wrong once again. I mean, there's a lot of folks nationally that are picking the Braves to be a third or fourth place team in the East. And as Brian Snitker said, I hope they continue to do that. They did that the last 2 years, and we proved them wrong, and we're going to try to do that again here this year.
You know, the interesting part, you know, last year there was folks picking anybody other than the Braves. But, you know, now going into the third campaign, it seems like the Braves have a lot more folks out there thinking that they can do it again compared to those that don't.
Well, they should. I mean, look, you saw some really good things from this offense, especially when they moved Ronald Acuna Jr. into the leadoff spot. I mean, that was a game changer for this team as far as the offense was concerned. For me, top four in the order is probably as good as any top four in baseball with Acuna, Albies, Freddie, and Marcelo Ozuna. I'd put that head-to-head against just about anybody in the game right now. You know, the question becomes the pitching. And, you know, I had my concerns coming down here. I remember driving down from Atlanta a few weeks ago and thinking about all the storylines and what we're going to cover and, you know, who could be a surprise story and things of that nature. But the one question I had was the rotation. Do they have enough in the starting rotation? And, of course, with Cole Hamels, you're not even being here when pitchers and catchers reported. That makes it a little bit more of a concern. So, you know, Soroka was great last year. He was an all-star, sixth in the Cy Young voting. Max Fried, 17 wins. Now, whether you put a whole lot of stock into wins anymore, that's up for debate. That's another story for another day. Folty found his slider and really finished the second half on a high note. So 1-3, you feel good. Now it becomes who's your 4 and who's your 5. Right now, as things stand, I think Sean Newcomb's your 4. And I think the battle really becomes down to Kyle Wright, Felix Hernandez, and Bryce Wilson for that fifth spot. So if they want to repeat as division champs, offensively, I think they have enough. The question I have becomes the pitching. The bullpen's going to be fine. It's just the starting rotation, and they need guys to step up, especially until they can get Cole Hamels healthy.
You know, Kyle Wright seems like he's the guy that is certainly very well equipped to be able to finally, you know, make it to the big leagues and stay there. You know, he certainly has shown it in the minor leagues. Unfortunately, when he's had the opportunities to do it on a consistent basis with the Braves level, that has not been the case. Does he feel, and does the organization feel, that he can pull this off this time around?
I think so. I mean, I think what you saw last spring with him winning a job, and again, there was two injuries in the rotation last spring, so by necessity, you know, he started the year in the rotation with Bryce Wilson. Obviously, it didn't work out for either of those guys, you know, for sustained success in the big leagues, at least to that point. But I think, you know, what we have to remember is these guys aren't finished products, and they got another full season under their belt last year, which will only help them this year. You know, they know what to expect. They know what they have to do to try to compete and win a job. So I think that also is in their corner here as well. But this is a big spring for all those young guys because, you know, again, this is a team that's looking for someone to really take the bull by the horns and run with this and make the most of their opportunity. And if not, you know, guys have, you know, run the risk of being passed on the depth chart. And it's crazy to think that we're talking about 23, 24-year-old guys potentially being, you know, passed. But when you've got Ian Anderson, when you've got De La Cruz, when you've got some of these other young arms, you know, Davidson as well, these are some impressive young arms, Patrick Weigel as well. If you don't, you know, if you don't go out there and perform and succeed and continue to do it every 5 days, the team's going to find someone who will. And that's the last thing any of those guys want. So I do think they believe in all these guys. They haven't certainly lost faith in them. But they want to see more, and they want to see it on a consistent basis.
Kevin McAlpin with the Braves Radio Network joins us, you know, almost every year as far as spring training. And, you know, there's a few exceptions, and the Braves could certainly be one of those exceptions. You know, there's a player, whether it's a training camp, a non-roster invitee who has just a tremendous spring training and makes and earns a spot on the roster. Is there a guy that, if you're a fan of the Braves, you could be watching out for during the spring?
Probably not to break with the big league club to start the season. I just think that, you know, as far as the bench and the everyday lineup is set. You're good there. I don't see, you know, an Ian Anderson having enough time to show that he could start in the rotation. So I've kind of taken his name out of the real serious consideration. But there are guys to follow as far as, you know, once the season gets going. let's say the Braves have an injury in their outfield and they need someone to come up. I think Drew Waters would be the first guy to come up. He's got power from both sides. He can play all three outfield positions. More suited for the corners, I think. But, you know, he's a guy to really keep an eye on. Christian Pache is another young outfielder who defensively could probably play in the big leagues tomorrow. His bat still needs some work. So obviously he'll get that chance to continue to develop at the AAA level here this season. But again, these guys are one phone call away. As far as, you know, another guy to keep an eye on, behind the plate, Shea Langeliers is a guy who has already opened eyes with this Braves coaching staff. He was the Braves' first-round pick, the catcher out of Baylor last year. In camp, you know, less than a year after he was in college playing with Baylor. Tremendous opportunity for him. Same with Braden Shumate, a young infielder who was also one of the Braves' top picks in last year's draft. Both those guys are getting phenomenal opportunities here in spring, and that's only going to, you know, give them that confidence going forward. So I don't think anybody is going to be a surprise candidate to start the year here in Atlanta. But that being said, there are some guys that are close and can definitely leave a very positive impression in the mind of the coaching staff and the front office. As far as, you know, the first phone call they make down to AAA, it could be one of those guys. Who knows?
All right, if you would give us an update on Freddie Freeman. It looks like that everything seems to be okay, and he should be able to return to the lineup, sometime next week? What's the latest on him?
Yeah, probably next week, Monday or Tuesday is what I'm thinking for Freddie. Talked to him this morning. He's in great spirits. He was bouncing around the clubhouse like he always does. Only thing he wasn't doing was going out and taking batting practice to start the game today. But he's feeling good. He feels fine. He's been getting treatment on that elbow. It's nothing uncommon, what he's going through, this soreness that he's experiencing. Because, you know, look, part of his rehab process this offseason after the surgery was to swing the bat, to go to the batting cage, to hit this offseason. But there's a big difference between going to the batting cage a couple of days a week out in California and, you know, coming to spring training and taking ground balls every day and taking live BPs and playing in games. It's a whole other level of exertion that your body goes through. They consulted with Dr. Olchek, who was the surgeon who performed the procedure back in October. They had a visit with him yesterday. He said, this is nothing uncommon. It'll be a few days. And instead of pushing it late February, give it time to cool down. And he still has plenty of time. Opening day is a month from today. So plenty of time for him to get enough at-bats to be ready. So Freddie feels good. The front office is not concerned. Alex Anthopoulos told us yesterday in Sarasota before the game against the Orioles, not concerned. And he repeated that three or four times. I'm not concerned. So I think that this is something very minor. And what you're going to see is the Braves continue to err on the side of caution when it comes to a Freddie Freeman, when it comes to a Mike Soroka, who had a very, very minor little tweak of his groin last week. They pushed him back a few days. That's a luxury you have when spring training is 6 weeks long.
All right, Kevin, so no major concerns about Freddie Freeman. What about those same kind of concerns for one Cole Hamels?
Well, look, I'm concerned about Cole Hamels. I think I'm probably a little more worried than most people are because this is not new. The shoulder is not new for Cole Hamels. He's been dealing with this throughout the course of his career. I remember covering him in Philly when he had this a couple times. Now, this is a different type of shoulder injury. This happened throwing a weighted ball. He is here with the team in Northport, getting treatment, being seen by the team doctors just pretty much on a daily basis. But, you know, this is probably going to be another week or so until they reevaluate him and see where he is from a health standpoint. I would think May 1st is when we could probably, you know, circle on the calendar. And that's if all goes well, barring any setbacks. You know, again, for a guy who's had shoulder issues in the past, I'm concerned. I'm worried about it. I really am. But, you know, the team is hopeful that with this rest, with the treatment, with the proper time off, that he'll be okay. And look, if he's going to miss time, I'd rather it happen in April than happen in August, right? I mean, you want to, he said it too. Cole said, look, if I can get back and be healthy and pitch for 5 months and be, you know, rested and be in a, you know, strong, feel strong heading into the playoffs, that's the main goal. So I think the Braves are optimistic this is not a long-term thing. But again, I think as far as a timetable, maybe May 1st, and that maybe that's even a little optimistic on my part.
If you would, Kevin, as far as for our listeners as well, you know, with regards to throwing the weighted ball, I mean, was he doing what he was supposed to be doing? Was he under the careful eyes of the trainers? I mean, how exactly did this happen? I mean, because I know organizations are different. Some like their pitchers to throw footballs, for example. I mean, so with regards to him straining the shoulder with the weighted balls, was that a normal thing early in spring training for the Braves?
Yeah, it's normal. Guys do it in the off season. You know, there's a place called Driveline up in the Pacific Northwest where guys go in, and their whole training program is around weighted balls to build strength, to help with velo, things of that nature. Guys do it all the time. It's nothing out of the ordinary. So it was just part of his off-season workout, and he just tweaked something while he was doing it. And, you know, Cole's the kind of guy, I kind of look at him as a guy where it's hard to hold back. Some guys it's hard to, you know, go 60%, 70%. And I think he just overdid it a little bit, and that's how the soreness occurred. But he told the training staff, he told the team right away, did the right thing there. So, no, this is nothing out of the ordinary. Guys, a lot of times we'll do this. Again, it helps build stamina, build strength, and more, most importantly, for a lot of guys, it helps with their velocity when they start throwing that lighter ball. And you sort of equate it to the batters when they put the donut on the bat and they swing the heavier bat, helps them with their bat speed. Well, this is sort of similar with the arm speed.
If you would, also, third base, certainly going to be one of those interesting spots to watch out for. Austin Riley, Camargo, how is that shaping up early on?
Well, I think it's Camargo's job to lose. I really do. I just think that, you know, he has more range in the infield than Austin Riley, and that's not a knock on Austin, but, you know, I think that we saw it today. There was a ground ball to the left side that Austin didn't get to, and I sort of made the comment in the press box, I think Camargo would have had it, and I saw a few heads not up and down in agreement. So I just think that, you know, the shape he came into, he lost about 20 pounds this offseason. He's in phenomenal shape, Camargo, and so is Austin Riley. I'm not ganging up on Austin by any means, and they're both going to get equal playing time. We saw Austin at third today. We'll see Camargo at third tomorrow, and basically every other day they're getting, you know, their three or four at-bats. So they're both going to get ample opportunities to win that spot. I just truly believe it's Johan Camargo's job to lose right now.
Well, the big thing about Camargo is the fact that he can play first, he can play second, he can play short or third, he can play right field. I mean, the fact that he can play so many different positions, that is so valuable for any team out there to have somebody like that.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, the Braves love versatile guys. I mean, you saw it with Charlie Culberson. Charlie has played in 7 of the 9 defensive positions for the Braves over the last few years. Camargo can pretty much play anywhere. The nice thing is that you now know that you have versatility that maybe we didn't realize with Austin Riley this time last year. You know, you saw him play left. You saw him in right a little bit. He has a first baseman's glove here in camp. He told me that, hey, you know, if they need me in a pinch, I could certainly go over there and you know, work with Wash and try to get used to the footwork of playing first. So, you know, even Austin Riley, a guy who is primarily playing third base here in spring this year, because that's what they want him to focus on. They want all of his attention on third base, and that's where they want his mindset to be, is winning that job. But, you know, again, a guy who's not strictly just a third baseman now, you know, he can play the corners and really even first base in a real emergency. And that's good because the Braves don't have a true backup to Freddie Freeman. If something was to happen more than just a day or two to Freddie, you need to find somebody that you can trust over there. And Austin thinks that maybe he can be that guy eventually down the road.
What will Nick Markakis' role be this year?
Very limited. I don't expect to see him get much playing time, honestly. He'll be a bat off the bench, most likely. You know, he'll get some starts against righties if they want to, you know, load up on left-handers. But for the most part, Ozuna and Acuna are going to play every day. They're going to play left and right, respectively. And now it's going to be who plays center. And, you know, for the most part, it's going to be Ender. You could see Adam Duvall out there as well. But really, for me, you know, Nick becomes a really, really good bat off your bench. Makes your bench a whole lot deeper when you've got a guy like that who can come off, you know, and be as consistent as Nick Markakis has proven to be over the course of his career.
If Ender struggles, I mean, I don't see him struggling from a defensive standpoint, but if he struggles around the 200 mark for a lengthy period of time, is it inviting to maybe move Acuna to center field and put Nick Markakis in right?
You could certainly do that. You know, the Braves do like Acuna in right. They just like his arm better in right field, and I think he's felt more comfortable over there. But absolutely, look, Ender has always been a slow starter, and if Ender gets off to another slow start, I don't think they would hesitate at all to make a change and you know, ride the hot hand. And, you know, again, Markakis is not going to give you a whole lot of power. We know that. But he's going to put the bat on the ball. He's going to get on base. He's going to be a consistent, you know, solid defender. So, you know, look, if Ender gets off to a slow start, I don't think they'd hesitate by just riding the hot hand and finding out how they can make that lineup, you know, the best possible lineup they can every single night.
Before we let you go, we were talking about this earlier this hour. The Houston Astros, so far in the five games, seven hit batsmen. I mean, this to me is not going away after the spring training wraps up and the first game of the regular season. Is that enough punishment for a team like this?
Absolutely not. I mean, they have not. They've gotten off pretty easy. You know, I think, in my opinion, and it's the opinion of lots of folks, especially one Nick Markakis in the
very much so
about 10 days ago. He doesn't say a whole lot, but when he does, boy, he made it count, didn't he? So that's a common refrain I've heard from a lot of guys, both on and off the record, that the players got off relatively easy, actually very easy. And, you know, for the commissioner to say that these guys are going to have to hear about it and answer the questions and live with it, well, they're also the ones that broke the rules. So I have a hard time finding any sympathy for those guys. I think they really they got off very easy. There's been guys that have suffered much further punishments in this game than what the Astros did, and it's not okay. And again, I think when you hear a Mike Trout speak out about it, when you hear Cody Bellinger's comments or Justin Turner or even Nick Markakis, when you hear these prominent guys, believe me, maybe it might only be one or two guys per clubhouse speaking up, but there's 25 to 30 to 40 guys in that locker room that have the same mindset, and this is not going to go away anytime soon.
Kevin, thank you as always for taking time out with us. I hope you have a wonderful rest of the week, and certainly looking forward to joining you and visiting with you again next week, talking Braves baseball and more. But until then, have a wonderful night and wonderful rest of the week.
Appreciate it, Johnny. Thanks.
Thank you. Now, Kevin McAlpin with the Braves Radio Network, and you can keep up with Kevin on Twitter at Kevin McAlpin. Open phones to the top of the hour if you'd like to be a part of the show. Braves, college football, Tennessee Titans offseason, college basketball, whatever's on your mind, 615-844-5600. That's 844-5600. Coming up just after 5, Adam Sparks, the Vanderbilt beat writer for the Tennessean. We'll talk master plan, Vandy Boys, and more with him. This segment brought to you by our friends with the Klein Preston Law Group here in Nashville, a proud supporter of the Atlanta Braves and the Southeastern Conference with over two decades of experience in litigation and transactional practice. Now, their practice focuses primarily on business law, which includes business litigation, business structure, and international law. The Klein Preston Law Group, they've represented clients from state and federal courts throughout the state of Tennessee, all the way to the United States Supreme Court. For more information, you can go to their website, Klein with a K, KleinPrestonLaw.com.
Good afternoon. It is really busy here on the South Loop, the West Loop, just trying to get out of the downtown area. There is a crash. It's on 4th Avenue right there at I-40. That's going to be somewhat south of town. Again, the fire department's been dispatched to that location, 5200 block of Blue Hole Road in Antioch, 65 south at Rivergate Parkway on a crash with injuries up in Goodlettsville. Hey, the Music City Irish Fest in Nashville kicks off March 14th. Check out the details, musiccityirishfest.com. I'm Commander Chuck. You're on time traffic.
Ready to own your first real home? The road to unrenting can get a bit rocky. It takes a reliable partner to right wrong turns. That's the role of a realtor, an expert voice of reason helping you navigate the rigmarole of real estate, a trusted ally who knows and represents your rights, so you get all the right guidance on your journey home. Is your agent a realtor? Look for the R. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors. That's who we are.
It may not require a textbook, but it's filled with valuable lessons. It may not take place in a classroom, but it's an ideal environment for learning. It may not involve a diploma, but it can help prepare Tennessee's young people for life. It's high school sports. High school sports can play a critical role in a student's overall education. In fact, studies show that students that participate in high school sports are more likely to enjoy greater levels of achievement in their academic lives. If you think high school sports are only about competition, think again. Better yet, think about attending a high school sporting event in your community. You'll be amazed by what you see. High school sports, a winning part of a complete education. This message presented by the Tennessee Secondary School Athletic Association and the Tennessee Interscholastic Athletic Administrators Association.
Swing into Edwin Watts and check out Callaway's new Maverick line of drivers, fairway woods, irons, and hybrids. The new Maverick line has been made with artificial intelligence to optimize distance with industry-leading ball speeds. The Maverick, Maverick Max, and Maverick Sub-Zero driver faces have been uniquely engineered to improve clubhead speed and forgiveness. The Maverick irons have been made to ensure optimal launch conditions with unprecedented feel. Get custom fit today and receive a 50% trade-in bonus towards the new Maverick family. Edwin Watts Golf, home of the 90-day satisfaction guarantee.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR SkyCan forecast for this afternoon. Sunny with a high near 45. Tonight, a chance of rain and snow between midnight and 5 a.m. Increasing clouds with a low around 33. And tomorrow, a chance of snow before 8 a.m. Partly sunny with a high near 46. Utilizing the resources of the WeatherBug Network on Nashville Sports Radio, I'm WNSR's Jeff DeWitt.
Sports Radio WNSR.
Listen to the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show online live at WNSR.com.
Welcome back. Johnny Ballpark Franks with you, along with Jay Henson, broadcasting out of the Goggin Cole Hall Studios tonight, Bridgestone Arena. To say that this is a big game for Nashville would be an understatement as far as the Preds playing host to the Calgary Flames. This is one of these games where you look at where the standings are right now as far as the Preds and in the position right now. They are in the second wildcard spot. They're 2 points behind Calgary. So a win. Remember, too, Calgary's played two more games compared to the Nashville Predators. The Preds, there's only 20 games left in the regular season, counting tonight. Calgary, however, after tonight, they only have 17 remaining. But you see where we're going here, because a win tonight from Calgary, that increases that lead by four. And you've got Winnipeg, Arizona tied with the Preds as far as the same number of points. But a huge contest for Nashville, you know, in this position tonight at Bridgestone Arena. Got to get it done. Both Calgary and Nashville have won two straight going into play tonight. And we'll see how this all plays out. Now, if you're looking and thinking about, you know, catching, you know, one, two, or three in the Central, St. Louis running away, 84 is, but then you got Colorado, 81 points, Dallas, 80. So both Calgary, Calgary is 8 points behind, Nashville, 10 points behind. That third spot. So right now, just make the playoffs.
Just try to make the playoffs, yeah.
But to do that, you got to take care of business, hold serve at home, and that's the opportunity the Predators find themselves in tonight as they play host to Calgary. So something to watch out for with regards to that. You know, it's another thing we'll get into conversation with as far as Alan Bell coming up next hour with CBS Sportsline. He'll be joining us around 5:35 as far as the collective bargaining agreement. You know, they want to get this thing done now, instead of letting it linger as far as the season. And so the owners voted on it last week, or 2 weeks ago now. Last week, it was sent to on Friday they met.
Right.
It was not a quote-unquote unanimous decision. And in fact, at one point, did not even have a majority. But after some more discussions, it got then sent now where everybody's voting. But it did not get sent down as far as with, you know, the majority where we are recommending it.
Right.
But and I was talking about this to you during the break. There's more have-nots as far as players in the NFL, part of the NFL Players Association, than the haves. You know, you think about, you know, those final 15, 20 roster spots and what they're making. And then you got that middle of the pack, but there's a lot of folks there making $500,000 a year,
yeah,
to $1 million a year compared to the ones that are $100 million folks. And the last time I checked, you know, an Aaron Rodgers vote counts just as much as one of those final roster spots. My gut tells me, although a lot of the veterans hate this idea of going to 17 regular season games, that it will get passed.
Yeah.
The things to watch out for, because, you know, here's the thing. There's more money, more opportunities, and that's something that's attractive to the ones who are not making the same kind of money as the veterans. Remember, there was a long time up until, 10 years ago, where
you know, folks coming out of college, never playing a down in the NFL, getting the big time bucks, had not even proved themselves. So they did a switcheroo and overnight, and when they switched with the new CBA, it then started rewarding the veterans. So now here's a chance for everybody to get paid.
Everybody, well, that's the biggest word that you said in that whole sentence that you just said, money. That's the biggest thing about it right now is money.
So, and here's the thing, I don't necessarily think that the system is broken, but you know why the owners want to do the thing where adding the extra team on both sides? It means they can now renegotiate with the networks to get better TV money,
right,
as far as from a viewing standpoint, because, you know, right now, six teams from the AFC battling it out with six teams from the NFC. Well, and this will take effect this year in 2020, mm-hmm, as far as the playoff situation, where instead of two teams in each league getting a bye, you get one team. Like in this case, from the AFC side, it would have been Baltimore, and then you work your way down from there. And so that's something to watch out for. But the thing is, instead of getting just four games wild card weekend, we'll be treated to six, three in each league. With one, and they're also entertaining the idea where one game, who knows, maybe even two, played on Monday night during that opening weekend.
Weird.
So something to watch out for. But first things first, the players have to agree to it, and they just want to show unity and the fact that, you know, this prolonged period of peace between the owners and the players, and, you know, getting closer now where 17 regular season games, which means we can do away with one of those preseason nightmares.
Ugh. I wish they just do one and be done.
But it makes you wonder, too, if you do add the extra regular season, it makes you wonder if we'll see more, see where I'm going here, additional games being played in different countries than the U.S., whether it's being played in Mexico or over in London, or whatever the case may be.
Got a point.
All right, 615-844-5600. Coming up next hour, don't forget, Adam Sparks with the Tennessean around 5:05. Alan Bell talking free agency, combine, and more with CBS Sportsline. And then leading into Vanderbilt women's basketball at 6:05, Will West joins us from Knoxville with Sports Radio WNML. I'd like to invite you to check out our friends with Penn Station East Coast Subs, located in Hermitage. Also, the two locations in Murfreesboro, Memorial Boulevard or Medical Center Parkway. Don't forget, for the remainder of February, try the Philly Cheesesteak Sub with amazing fresh-cut fries and drink at a special price. Penn Station, it's all about good taste.
Good afternoon. The traffic's really picked up in the last few minutes out here on the South Loop, the West Loop. Sure, we've seen several accidents in the last few minutes as they work one 300 block of Harding Place, 2nd and Woodland Street on a two-car fender bender, heavy to the south, 65 down into Brentwood. Up in Goodlettsville, they're working that wreck on 65 southbound near Rivergate Parkway. Buying or selling your home, call Nikisha or Tony Tate at Exit Master Realty. That number is 554-9795. I'm Commander Chuck, your on-time traffic.
The final lap with Kerry Murphy is on.
Ross Chastain is listed as the driver of the number 6 Roush Fenway Ford for the second race in a row. Ross finished 27th last week. Ryan Newman, on the other side, took in some fishing this week and visited the race shop, where he received a standing ovation from his fellow employees. There hasn't been a timetable set or announced for his return to the number 6 car. Austin Dillon took in some spring training with the San Diego Padres this week. As you may know, Austin was part of the winning 2002 Little League World Series team. And based on the video I saw, he can still hit a decent fastball. See the video for yourself over there at thefinallap.com. Since the race is Los Angeles adjacent this week, several drivers are sporting purple and gold Lakers colors in honor of Kobe Bryant. Ryan Blaney's number 12 machine will feature a Mamba snakeskin look, while William Byron's number 24 car, the number Kobe made famous in the NBA, will also have the iconic colors on board. And finally, Daniel Suarez's car will feature the names of the victims of the helicopter crash. Cole Custer is on, and he's full-time Cup Series racing this year.
Yeah, for sure. It's definitely cool. You know, I've been watching, you know, Cup races since I was a little kid and been around, so it's definitely pretty surreal, but at the same time, there's a lot to learn. So
what's some of the differences you're noticing already early on between Xfinity and the Cup?
Just the feel of the cars, I mean, is one of the bigger things. You know, there's, you know, just a lot of little differences that add up to kind of some big differences.
The final lap.
Progressive presents Get Pumped. Inspiration to help you do insurance stuff.
Hey, are you just gonna stand there and let people not give you credit for being a good driver? You deserve discounts on car insurance, and that's what Snapshot from Progressive is for. So why aren't you signing up? You need music to get pumped? Hit it! Drum solo! Ow, that hurts my fingers.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Snapshot not available in California, North Carolina, or from all agents.
I promise that you'll never find another like me.
With the Capital One Saver Card, you earn 4% cash back on dining and entertainment. That's 4% cash back on milkshakes with extra whipped cream. And 4% to get extra loud at the show. The Capital One Saver Card. Earn 4% on dining and 4% on entertainment. What's in your wallet?
Hey guys, it's Taylor. You can buy my new album, Lover, at taylorswift.com.
Terms apply. Capital One Bank, USANA.
Creative Parking Concepts in Nashville reminds listeners, it's not just equipment that makes our military strong. It's also the dedicated, brave individuals who make up our armed forces. Without them, our nation would not be one of the most powerful in history. Let's salute our troops. This message is from Creative Parking Concepts in Nashville. If you are in need of a commercial parking solution, give Todd a call today at 615-712-7696 or visit online at creativeparkingconcepts.com.
Listen live online to the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show at WNSR.com.
Welcome back. Johnny Ballpark Franks with you along with Jay Henson broadcasting out of the Geigen Cohall Studios. 615-844-5600. I was looking at the updated standings going into this week as far as men's basketball is concerned. By the way, Tennessee hosting Florida, 1 p.m. Central Time start time on Saturday as far as that one is concerned. And then Vanderbilt, a noon start. They're on the road taking on Ole Miss. Now, here's the thing, you know, because you don't want to be seeds 11 through 14 with right. regards to the SEC tournament, because if you are, then you play on that first night in that first round. Right now, Tennessee and Alabama, they're flirting with it because three teams seem like they're going to be safe as far as that opening night. Vanderbilt, obviously, right now will be that 14 seed. Georgia, Ole Miss, both teams with 11 losses in conference play, they will be most likely your 12 and 13 seeds. And then a battle between, you know, there's Arkansas, Missouri right now, both of these teams 6-9 in conference play, but on their heels, or they're on actually on the heels of Tennessee and Alabama in the sense that Arkansas, Missouri had wins this week so far, Alabama, Tennessee losing. So now you've got an Alabama, Tennessee, if it holds where it is now, they would actually go up against each other the first game on that Thursday at Bridgestone Arena on March 12th, and that would be the second round. But there's a chance that they could slide down even further to the point where one of those teams could be actually playing in the first round. Because, once again, Arkansas, Missouri, you know, they're only one loss behind, you know, both Bama and Tennessee, and especially an Arkansas team with a little bit of momentum there. And Arkansas, too, on the cusp of being back on the bubble.
Right.
A lot to play for. And that's why you look at Tennessee last night, a really disappointing loss for them, losing by 17 on the road. And an Alabama team that just is like seems like all year long in a position where, the you know, with, I mean, they beat Auburn, for example. I mean, they've had some really nice wins. And so the committee is like, just give us a reason to put you in the NCAA tournament, because you look at their NCAA net, which was like the old RPI. And Bama is like in the top 40 in the country. But then what happens? They lay an egg this week, and you can't do that if you're trying to be on the good side of the bubble. So a lot to play for, not just for the ones, you know, getting like, because right now Kentucky, Auburn, LSU, those three teams seem to be safe. But that fourth spot, even as far as getting the double bye, right now it would be Florida. But, you know, you've got Mississippi State, South Carolina, Texas A&M, within striking distance right. of that fourth spot. So
yeah, I mean, it's going to come down to the wire, and I'm just afraid that if Tennessee keeps playing like they are, they could possibly drop down to that 11 or 12 seed even. the way as bad as, I mean, I hate to say it, but they've not been playing very well as of late.
Well, they would have to really tank it these final three games,
right?
Because you know they're like Alabama, they're 7-8, and but they could easily find themselves, you know, whether you're
if they win out,
if you're 10 or 11, it doesn't matter. That means you would still be playing the first night,
right?
And they're close to being in that position, just one game away from being that spot. With Arkansas and Missouri. Yeah. All right, coming up just after 5, Adam Sparks, he's the Vanderbilt beat writer. The good as far as Vanderbilt, watching what the Commodores have done since starting the year 1-2. Outstanding pitching, all those things going well. And then we get the news about the master plan. How much is it like one of these things in Hollywood, like when you're filming a movie and you open up a door and behind you've just got sticks holding up this one wall? Or is there something, as the door opens, there's actually development behind that? We'll get more in this conversation with Adam Sparks coming up on the other side. You're listening to Nashville Sports Radio.